Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, it's Jeffrey Scott Parsons. You can call me Jeff. I hope you're enjoying your week thus far. I'm coming at you with a midweek mini episode because over the weekend, we released a really cool episode on Patreon exclamation point with Adam Abraham. Adam is the author of a fantastic book entitled Attack of the Monster Musical that's all about Little Shop of Horrors, or horrors, as Adam says, which is honestly a better idea because then you're not accidentally bringing prostitutes into where they might not want to be. Now, the entire conversation, which is about 42 minutes to be exact, is only available for subscribers of Patreon exclamation point, but the good news is it's only $1 a month, and not only do you end up supporting a musical theater podcast, but you get amazing monthly content like the convo with Adam. Enjoy this little sneak peek. In terms of what we've already covered on the podcast and what I feel like is regularly available, either, you know, through the Ashman documentary on Disney Plus or Waking Sleeping Beauty, like there's a lot of great material out there about the general creation of Little Shop of Horrors. However, I have an entire list of very specific things that I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
And I got to be honest, I had to stop at page 37 because the list was getting too long. So everybody listening, I have a list of questions and it only goes to page 37. So you definitely want to get this book. First up, you talked to so many people to write
65 is the official count, unless I forgot someone.
Incredible. And obviously, you know, biggies like Alan Menken himself and the Howard Ashman estate. There were two names, however, that really popped out to me because I'm a nerd. Number one, Leilani Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed with her. She won a Tony Award for Grind, a musical that we covered at the very beginning of the podcast.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's still the episode that has the fewest listens of all of the episodes I've ever put out, but I'm still so glad we did it.
And anyway, from Hawaii.
Right? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she's incredible, and she's also kind of disappeared. And so I'm wondering if you can give me any info on how she's doing, because I'd love to send some love to Leilani Jones.
She's doing well. She lives in California. She's pretty much best friends with one of my best sources. They became friends in the original production in 1982.
And by the way, Leilani Jones, one of the original street urchins.
Mm-hmm, right.
In case people aren't aware.
Yes. So Leilani, I mean, with a small show like this and this kind of success, friendships are going to be natural. But one friendship that I noticed is the one between Leilani and Donna Rose Fletcher, who was a stage manager for many years on the show. So the two of them were an excellent source because they're tight, because they're both are based in California. They travel together. They go to New York together. And occasionally there have been little shop reunions, private reunions, not a public performance like happened in 2015. But they just get together in New York with their circle of friends. So they've stayed pretty tight. And I wound up connecting with both of them. And both were very helpful. But Leilani gave me a copy of her actual script, like the script she held in her hands in the rehearsal process at the WPA Theater, where Little Shop was created, and there are her scribbled notes on the margins, which is basically how we're talking to her.
Right,
so she's, she's not going to stop and rewrite
it in her own words.
She's just going to write down. So I have her handwritten comments in the margins and on the first couple pages of piece of direction that he was giving her. So she was a great source in the paper trail, but also her own stories. So yes, I'm a big fan of Leilani.
And just a voice that literally would not quit. It's crazy that you brought up the position or the occupation that popped out to me. Stage managers. You write in the book, quote, "If you want to know about a musical, talk to the stage managers." And oh, hallelujah.
It was just absolutely. And I make the argument, I think, in the first few pages why. Like, actors have their perspective. Mm-hmm. Writers have their perspective. Even the director. But the stage manager sees the thing in its totality in 360 degrees and also 52 weeks in the year,
every single performance.
The writer shows up, it launches and goes off to the next project. The stage manager stays. The stage manager lives in and owns the show to some extent, puts in people. There are many people who are not directed by the director, even though the director gets directing credit. A stage manager will put that person into the show in the theatrical parlance, and which is not to say to take anything away from the director, but the stage managers really run the show, and I think they know it best. So I wound up speaking to the original production stage manager, Paul Mills Holmes, and one of his successors, Donna Rose Fletcher, whom I mentioned, and they both were amazing interviews because they just really had this comprehensive view of the show. An actor always knows his or her parts, with some exceptions, depending on how interested or aware they are. So yeah, I was very grateful to talk to them, and I learned a lot from seeing the show through their eyes. And they keep records. The woman I mentioned, Donna Rose Fletcher, kept the production reports from the show. So every single performance, matinee or evening, there's a little piece of paper that says everything that happened. So-and-so was late, we missed this lighting cue. And further, to my benefit, they wrote down which celebrities happened to be in the house that night. So if Steven Spielberg was there or whoever it was, they would scribble that at the bottom because it's just interesting. But now, years later, we can look at those production reports and we can see what happened and who missed the show, who was out, and what was going on. So it's a great snapshot of a show in process. You know, because I feel, and I make this argument, a lot of musical theater history is kind of closed on opening night. It's like, oh, there it is. It opened, hurrah. Maybe there's a film version that gets mentioned, and then it's kind of done. But that's just the beginning. And for many audiences, if you didn't happen to go in the first year, you're also not seeing those original casts. There's cast replacements and understudies, and more people move into the parts, and the show can develop in different ways. So I wanted to try to capture more than just an opening night, but something of the five-year extents of this show as it played in New York from 1982-87.
Oh, that's so smart and inspired.
I mean, on the title page, I call this a cultural history, but it is also a social history. It's a history of the people who were involved in this, stage managers, cast, musicians, and so forth. And I tried to find every living person I could. But also, I made an effort to interview some understudies and replacements who often don't get involved in this kind of book. One of them was Brad Moranz, who was the first person to cover, he happened to cover three roles, which is probably too many, but ultimately he was a replacement for Seymour after Lee Wilcoff left. And he was there pretty much from the start, and he sat next to Howard Ashman watching the show once it opened, as Ashman was still looking for improvements, and just kind of Ashman would whisper into Brad's ear and say certain things and want to try different things. So Brad had this amazing seat, just seeing Ashman's mind at work. And even once the show was open, there's always something that can be tweaked or improved. So just having access to that person who was right there is just incredible. So things like that were really a treat for me to learn more than just the opening night cast and the opening night story, because the story keeps going.
Okay, come on. That is two musical theater nerds living their best lives. To listen to the rest of the episode, be sure to subscribe to Patreon ! At patreon.com/amusicalpodcast. Be sure to follow Adam on Instagram at abraham.author, where he's posting a lot of photos and artwork that didn't make it into the book. And order Attack of the Monster Musical. You will not be disappointed. I thought I knew everything about the creation of this musical, but the really smart investigating that Adam did has really expanded that world for me in a very, very satisfying way. All in all, you guys, thank you for being a part of this wonderful podcasting community. I'm very grateful for you. And look for another new episode of a musical theater podcast on Sunday. What? Three in a row? Yep, you're welcome. Talk soon.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.